Ready for the word? Okay. You can hand listen together. Father, in the name of your son Jesus, in this service, we receive in our hearts the revelation of your word without doubt in our minds. We have purity in the listening and the teaching of your word this evening. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Alright, Matthew's Gospel 28. We just do our best this evening to... It might be the close of this series for now, but just try and tie things together on the series, The Knowledge of the Holy. And Jesus came and spake unto them, Matthew 28:18, saying, all authority that's what power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Every believer has this calling upon his life. Every believer has this calling, this mission on his life. In other words, we define purpose and existence by this that is found here. Go into all the world, make disciples, means to train people and bring it up as students for the Lord, to learn of Christ, to learn of his word from and through us. Mark's Gospel 16, again, just the same events, but interpreted or translated differently. And you have verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, make it known. Make his message known. And that's something you got to do. I did this on Sunday during the first, second, and third services, and I asked people to tell me whether they did that the last week. Now, a good number of us raised their hand, and some number too didn't, which means that that's a question we should ask ourselves all the time. Am I doing God's will? Am I announcing his word? Am I announcing his word? It's not just something you did when you were younger. It's his all-time call upon your life. Verse 16, then he that believes and is baptized, he says, shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out demons. I asked that on Sunday, whether you cast out demons last week. And to speak with new tongues, right? And I mentioned also whether you got people baptized or to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost or to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents. If you drink anything, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and there the sick shall recover. Verse 19, soon after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was withdrawn into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, he italicized, and confirming the word with signs following. Then he says, amen. So we have a duty to always make known God's word to people. Sometimes it's just by sharing God's word. Sometimes it's by sharing what someone wrote or said. Sometimes by engaging people in conversations. You must be found, there shouldn't be a day in your life where you don't put out God's word for people to hear. It doesn't have to be you preaching it all the time. You could have people just hear someone else. You could have people read someone else. You know, just to ensure God's word is being known by others. The Great Commission, or let's put it like this, the gospel is such that is the urgency of God. It's the urgency of God. There's nothing more urgent in the mind of God than this. John's Gospel 20. So the Great Commission is not something you did when you were in the college or the university or the secondary school or before you got a job or before you became an entrepreneur running your own show, running your own business. No, it's an all-time work that you get engaged in. John 20 and 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when they had said this, he breathed on them is italicized, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And we said the word to receive ye the Holy Ghost means that we begin to function in God's stead, or God begins to function in our stead, right? Which implies that God is the only one who forgives sins. Because the word there is aphiemi. In the Greek, it means to send away sins. Only God does that. But by the Holy Ghost that we have, or we in the Holy Ghost, we're able to function in God's capacity. Or God is able to function through us in His capacity. So we have that duty as we go into the world. We bring the gospel of reconciliation to people. We bring the gospel of peace to people by the Holy Ghost. Now in Luke's Gospel 24, we saw the pattern of Jesus and His ministry. And I've been saying that as loudly as you should hear it. That the Bible of Jesus remains Genesis to Malachi. The Bible of Jesus remains Genesis to Malachi. There was someone during the week chatted me inbox and said, "Sir, you said backsliding." I thought believers don't backslide. I said, "Who said that?" He said, "Because I thought backsliding was for Israel." So I said, "Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 10. All our fathers, right, passed through the sea and under the cloud, and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual drink, meat, drank the same spiritual drink of the same rock. The rock that followed them was what?" He said, "Christ." I said, "The rock that followed was what?" He said, "Christ." I said, "Very good." So I said, "Now, so with many of them, God was not pleased." Alright, so they all perished and destroyed in the wilderness. So what next thing did Paul say? He said, "Therefore, you should not lust after the things that they lusted after." I said, "Oh, that's true." Shall I read verse 11 and 12? You ready? I said, "Very good." I said, "What did you call backsliding again?" "It means to follow idols." So I said, "Okay, good." I said, "You read the chapter again." So we got to verse 13 and 14. What did Paul say? "Flee idolatry." He said, "Oh." So go to Galatians 5. Walks of the flesh. What do you see there? He said, "Idolatry." Thank you. He said, go to 1 John 5:21. "Little children, flee from idols." He said, "Oh." I said, "So, what's the question again?" He said, "Now I see light. I like to thank you for your exegesis." You know, and I told you, there's nothing called Old Testament or New Testament referring to books. I told you that before. Now we use it for references, but it mustn't become theology. Is that clear? It can be used for reference. Just like if I say, check the Old Testament, you know what I'm talking about. But the Old Testament I'm referring to is not theology. It's just a way of documentation. Are we making sense? Okay, make sure that's clear. Because the Bible of Jesus wasn't Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Bible of Jesus, the Bible of Paul wasn't Ephesians. In fact, the Bible of Paul was not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Bible of Paul was Genesis to Malachi. And it was called God's Word. Whatever we call New Testament, we studied that before, is still the same books that we're reading. Hallelujah. Which service did I explain New Testament? Third service? Was it third? Third service? Name of Jesus? Okay, this is the New Covenant. Name of, right? Deuteronomy? That we did Deuteronomy, Jeremiah? Was it third service? Okay, so that's New Covenant. So, in Luke 24:25, he said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, I'm going to do something for you on Saturday. Saturday we have So Great Salvation 7 introduction, okay? Not the series itself. We'll do we'll continue the series after the workers' convention. Okay? Thought about it just a few minutes ago. So he says, beginning at Moses, I will say, why did he say prophets in 27 and hicked out Moses alone in 25 and just singled out Moses in 27? Then he said, beginning at Moses and other prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. I don't know what's going on. Lord have mercy. Amen. I've got no dog in the fight. And that's the truth. Amen. Not the devil, at least. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand it. So I said, what's he talking about? Don't worry, just stay like that. It's apocrypha. Just forget about it. That they might understand the scriptures. To read the scriptures together, which means that we have a duty to understand, suinemi, the scriptures. That they might understand the scriptures. And the scriptures is referring to here is Genesis to Malachi. So we're looking at the knowledge of the holy, that is the word holy, and the knowledge of it. Okay, we said the reason why we have Holy Spirit, Holy Pneuma, or Holy Ruach, pardon me. Probably look at that again on Saturday, but the word Holy Spirit is a redemptive term. Spirit of God, holy. Okay, it's redemptive in terminology. And so knowledge of the holy is the knowledge of what God is doing in the earth today. What is He doing in the earth today? So we looked at it from the redemptive new creation theology of the Bible. That is, there is a redemptive and new creation fact of scripture. So let's view something very quickly. So Jesus began at Moses. And I mentioned this on Sunday, I put that again weeks before, that the concept of a prophet, okay, I told you that a prophet is a spokesperson, right? Nabai, okay, who is a spokesperson for another. Exodus 4, and actually verse 15 and 16, then Exodus 7 verse 1. Nabai, somebody who speaks for another, who takes someone else's words and then says it. So we said, the prophets were firstly preachers and teachers. That's what they were. They were not firstly seers. That concept is inaccurate. I thank God for Brother Hagin who shed light on this for me. Remember his book, He Gave Gifts Unto Men. I read that book in 1996 or so, or 5 or 6. And we had the idea that the prophet is somebody who sees visions and all that. He said, no, it's firstly a preacher and teacher of the gospel. And that really helped my understanding. Now, by the study of... And I used to think that Brother Hagin was referring to New Testament prophet, because that was the way I thought I heard it, until further studies of scripture shows that really, it's the meaning of prophet itself is a preacher or teacher. That's the meaning of it. Because when... God calls Abraham a prophet, it means he's my spokesperson, not he's my seer. Alright? No, that's not what it refers to. They also see, because in their world, they had spokespersons of deities that also saw things. And that's why in Deuteronomy 13 verse 1, Moses warns that when you see someone who gives a dream, vision, a sign, a wonder, and a sign and the wonder comes to pass, he said, you will not follow him. In fact, what he told you to do for him afterward, don't let's read it. But let's just stay with, don't follow him. Okay. So that you don't go and do it. You know, so which means that it is so grievous to take somebody or validate someone because of a sign or wonder. And that's one of the things to know about the false prophet. What we call the false Christ is that they will, with signs and wonders, almost deceive the very elect. So, which means that signs and wonders validate God's word, no doubt, but signs and wonders are to be treaded cautiously. That terrain should be treaded cautiously. So he says, Moses says, it is what he says about God that validates his ministry. So, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, says the Lord God would raise from amongst your brethren a prophet. The word kum told you that. Kum. It doesn't mean to lift up. It actually means to raise from the dead when you look at the Greek interpretation of that, the Greek translation of that. And then verse 18 too. So the prophet whom Jesus was. So Jesus is also a prophet, not because visions and revelations. In fact, we don't have too much information about that. It's because of the things that he said. And not just what he said, is that prophet that gives life. Is the Ezekiel 37 verse 5 or 4 prophet that will prophesy and these dry bones will leave. And that's exactly what he did on the road to Emmaus. As he spoke, he breathed in them. So he confirmed that he was that prophet as he taught the word. Luke 24:45, he opened their understanding, Dan O'Gill, that they might understand the scriptures. Luke 24:31-32, did our hearts not burn within us as he opened to us the scripture? So he is that prophet. He's the prophet that opens the heart and imparts life when he teaches. So that is the office of a prophet. Now, because of the nature of the Old Testament folks who had to foresee things, alright, so they also had visions and revelation. And that's is also found in the epistles where he says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams. Joel 2:28-29, Acts 2:16-17. So no doubt, and we see that, you know, prominently in the epistles and the book of Acts. So the prophet, you need to get this really clear. The prophet is the one who has the gospel. Is the one who has the gospel or the promise of God or the commandment of God. The prophet of the Old Testament are the teachers of scripture, are the ones that rightly divided the scriptures. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, I will look at the bit of that on Saturday. It's going to be quite some short sessions, but just a bit of intro for you so that it's, we'll be able to create a bridge between Law and Genesis and that one. So now, we're looking at, again, knowledge of the Holy. Jesus began at Moses, and we said that this shows the systematic way he taught. And like everybody did. So, let's quickly see a few things. In the beginning, we've seen that before, Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. Bara, a word that is more functional than manufacturing. Heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, tohu wa bohu, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. Now notice the next word, which is what I want to focus on, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moves. Now this is a bit interesting, because again, you must be the Exodus audience to understand what's going on here. Moses is describing the Exodus as the Spirit moving. Now when you say moving, it's moving over darkness, which means the waters and the darkness were in the same place. Then he moved over the waters, moved over the darkness. And the word there has to do with conception. Rakaph. R-A-C-H-A-P-H. Rakaph. It deals with conception. So if you are the Exodus audience, he is describing your journey to you. And you know, we said this before, I'm going to mention the business of Saturday again. Sorry for mentioning Saturday all the time. Now, he says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and then he separated. Again, the Exodus audience understands the separated there, or divided the light from the darkness. The word badal, used for holiness of a nation. New creation language. Now, when he said that, now look at me. Look at me, everyone. Just something you should see. In material creativity or material, in the material world, you don't need to separate light from darkness. They are already separated. Right? You don't even have darkness and light in the same place. Is it spectrum physics or something? You don't have it the same way. So by saying light and darkness, he's not talking about material creation. He's talking about people. God took his people out of darkness. That's what he's saying. Badal. So here, he uses the word rakaph. So if you're the Exodus audience, you go to Deuteronomy 32, where he describes that event. Are you in church? Now this is critical. A bit of that you see it in our upcoming book. It should be out next week. The woman I know. The truth of the matter is that some guys don't get it. And that's really funny, because why would you not get a book about a woman? That is the reason why we wrote it. You think we are discussing menstrual cycle there? Do I know it? Oh, I'm going to waste my time to write that. There are people that have written it better than I do. Or Omona Blues. I don't know what about it. Yeah, that's not what it's about. So, when we did the Women of God, some guys didn't get it because they're Women of God. He's talking about women. And in the same view, when a woman is preaching, you're already feeling somehow. Who does she think she is? She didn't have bought the book. Some guy will read it. Say, woman, white woman. I need a book on man, the man of God. We'll point out some things there. So I said this, interestingly, in a world where the female gender was not even used in genealogy. Now God is interested. Genealogy of the ancient Near Eastern culture to use men, call them firstborn males. And so the genealogy, and Moses used that method in the genealogy. You won't know who Sarah's father was for what? That's why I don't know where Cain's wife came from. Who cares? But how does God start his own genealogy? The seed of the woman. Counterculture. And you know, Zerah, when you use Zerah, you are creating a genealogy. God starts with a woman. Are you aware of that? So in the humanity of God, he is a seed of who? A woman. That's a strange genealogy. That's why Luke included the woman in the genealogy. So it means God attacks the roots of patriarchy. Patriarchy will say, the seed, am I pushing something else? I'm led by the Spirit, am I? Oh, thank you. You know, patriarchy believes that life comes from the man. The woman is simply like a vessel. Biology also teaches that. Funnily, the one I know, I don't want trouble. But when Adam was going to call Eve, he called Eve the mother of life. Or living. That's not what we think. And so we have God creating a genealogy that begins with a woman. The true genealogy of Jesus, God in man, right? When God became a man, that miracle, and again, don't forget, by the virgin birth, I told you, the virgin birth is not because having sex to have children is sinful. Please, take that useless theology off your head. What do you mean by that? How does it make sense? How does it make any sense? The virgin birth, right, is in itself a sociological statement. God, right, speaks of the woman at the incarnation and not the man. The man is never in prophecy. The man in prophecy is Abraham. The woman in prophecy is a virgin. And the both of them never met. See what God does? So, all in all, we see the grace of God. The grace of God. In God, in the new creation, gives His Spirit. Now, you and I today, if we're going to buy gifts for your son, you buy a toy car. For your daughter, you give doll. I say you're a word man. What does God give us? The Spirit. Not dull Spirit. A dark Spirit. I pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That's a statement in itself. New creation. New creation. New creation is struggling with our sociology right now. Struggling with the way we reason. We still use words like Pastor Mrs. That's a genderized calling. Pastor Mrs. You can say pastor. That's all. About the Greeks, the Greek translations, the Hebrew translations say prophetess. They changed the word Nabai. They now used it for they had a female one in Isaiah, and I kind of disagreed. They say God doesn't speak like this. This is okay. Let me stick it out. So look at the first statement. In Genesis. Deuteronomy 32. As an eagle, verse 11. Now, let's even look at it well. When the Most High, verse 30, verse 8, divided the nations in the inheritance when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds on the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the Lord of his inheritance. He found him in the desert, land, and in a waste, howling wilderness, he led him about, instructed him, he kept him as an apple of his eye. Now watch this. As an eagle, now he's talking about a nation, as an eagle stirs up our nest, flutters over our young, spreads abroad our wings, takes them, bears them on our wings. Let's take 12 together. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He describes salvation from a woman point of view. Which means, that's the word rakaf there, which means that the very first description of Moses in New Creation is to use what is known to a mother, to a woman. Rakaf. He calls it the leading of God's Spirit. He made him ride on the half of the earth, and he describes all of that in the Exodus. So the Exodus has a father narrative, a mother narrative, but Moses starts with a mother narrative. Rakaf. In Exodus 19 and verse 4, I bore you on eagle's wings, I brought you to myself. See? So that's what he's describing here. So don't forget, Deuteronomy is to repeat it, right? Come on. Okay, that's second law. I mentioned that. That's New Covenant. To repeat it again. Deuteronomy 1, 31. Same thing. He bore thee as a man doth his son. So he uses a man and his son. But the first words is rakaf, the way an eagle flutters over a young and bear and bore the young. So first thing in the Exodus, as we come out, pay attention, as we come out of the world, which is an event and an ongoing event, okay, it's described in a conception. So growing into full stature. But it is by the Spirit of God. And then he says in Genesis 1, he says, God separated or divided Badal, holiness, which describes holiness or being different. Leviticus 11 again, let's check it. Leviticus 11 and 44. Leviticus 11, I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourself, not defile yourself. Then look at 47. To make a difference, Badal. Difference. To make a difference. So holiness is a difference. Leviticus 20 again, verse 24. You shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that flows with milk and honey. I know you know what it means. It's not that when you get on the pitch, you see milk flowing. I'm the Lord your God, which has badaled you from other people. The same word in Genesis 1, 4 and 5. Badaled you. You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and all that. So you have difference. So that difference is what we call, is God's difference. God puts his difference. Now, God is different. Notice that every time he talks about the way he rescued them from Egypt, he says, and there's none beside me. I am the Lord God, there's no God, therefore I am holy. So God, right, in saving us, gives us his holiness. Holiness has nothing to do, now let me say it carefully so that I don't get misquoted. Holiness primarily has nothing to do with behavior. The moment you start it that way, you get it wrong. Holiness is God. Alright? That's why a land is called holy, spoons are called holy, utensils are called holy, house is called holy, and everything that was called holy was destroyed. Okay? The nation of Israel was called holy. The Gentiles were called holy. So that's whatever God wants to do, wherever he wants to stay, whatever he's doing is called holy. Now, by the virtue of being saved, we're called into a holy calling. We are a holy people. Which means we're in his project. We're in his purpose. We're in his plan. And so the spirit he gives us, his own spirit, is also called holy. Holy because of what God is doing. So let's focus on the Genesis 1 truth. So the Spirit of God moving or moved upon the face of the waters is an ongoing work today. Move upon the face of the waters. And look at what he does. First thing we see is light. Illumination. Illumination. And God separated the darkness from the light. And called the light day, quara, functional, and the darkness night. Don't forget, Isaiah says, I the Lord, I created darkness and light. And I told you that that's not manufacture. That is to put purpose. So where God called darkness evil is not the one who brought it to being. It is the one who calls its function. It is an awareness and an information that we all need. So here we have, he has a people. So the first thing about the people, they're people of day. They're people of light. So the first attribute of our holiness is direction, leading, illumination, illumination, direction, light. And that direction and leading is by His Spirit. It's by His Spirit. Now don't forget the description. It's like a mother over a young. So which means it's going to bring growth. Is that clear? Okay, it's protective. It's going to bring growth. Right? It's protective. It's redemptive. Light. So here's John. John says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. Without anything made that was made. In Him was light. Light of men. Then he says the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness couldn't comprehend it. The light shineth. Illumination. The light shineth. Leading. Direction. Can also have miracles. Signs and wonders. So, our holiness, right, includes, when we look into our holiness, which is His holiness in us, it includes insight. Insight that is peculiar to us. That's why John will say, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John 2:20. You know it. And he's talking about false prophets. You have an unction. And that word has to do with an initiation. Something that consecrates someone into a group of people. You know all things. 1 John 2:27. The anointing you have received of Him abides in you. It's truth, John says. You need not that any man teach you. For the same anointing teaches you of all things. And it's truth. And there's no lie. Even as you abide in Him. 1 John 2:27. Hallelujah. Is that clear? We're in the day. We're in the day. So when men are in darkness, we are in the light. By the Spirit. Don't forget that. By the Spirit. So Jesus, who is the head of new creation, Colossians 1:15, He is the image, the icon, is the head of new creation, Colossians 1:15 through to 18, is a prototokos of it, the reshith of the Old Testament books. And we mustn't have the idea that Jesus was just someone who was hidden somewhere. We didn't see Him all the while. He just kept in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Father. four gospel of the Son, epistle of the Spirit. And so, you know, Jesus was just waiting somewhere and just chilling till his time will come. So calm down, it's my time now, it's your time. When you get there, you go love upon the people, let me do the rough things here. You do the other things. No, that's not true. Pay attention. In the prophecy of Malachi, Malachi 3:1, you can turn there, Malachi describes two messengers. Now, to the word messenger, the word Malak. It describes two messengers. It says there's a messenger that will go before the face of the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord. Open that with Isaiah 40 verse 3. And it says there's that messenger of the covenant. So there are two messengers in Malachi. There is a messenger. I think I taught this on Sunday. Did I? Third service? Huh? Name of Jesus, did I? Okay, let's just go over it again. Malachi 3 and 1. Okay, it says, I'll send a message, and he shall prepare the way before me, the Lord, whom you seek, and come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. So we have two messengers there. There is a messenger who will go before the Lord. And there is the Lord who is a messenger of the covenant. That word is Malak. It's also used for angel. Now, King James, and every translation I've told you is an interpretation, did use angel earlier on, Exodus 23 and 20. Exodus 23 and 20. I'm sure that name of Jesus is going to be broken in two parts. I'm going to continue one later in the year. Exodus 23 and 20. And I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. Now, that angel is supposed to be the one to redeem, okay, to bring you to the place. Exodus 23, verse 20 and 23. Okay, to bring you to the place. Now that's the same word used by Malachi. In Malachi 3:1, and we also see in Isaiah 40 verse 3 to 10, when said the cities of Judah, behold your God, right? This is the God. This is God. Okay? So, whoever was a messenger, John was a prophet of the prophet. He was a messenger of the messenger. Now pay attention here. Jacob also described God in those terms. In Genesis 48 and 15, it says, said God, before whom my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Isaac did walk, sorry for that, and God which fed me, God my shepherd, or he, all my life unto this day, God the angel, in 16, which redeemed me from all evil, Genesis 48 and 16, bless the Lord, God who redeemed me, the angel, God the messenger. That's why Jesus said to them in John 8, before Abraham, I am. Why? Genesis 15:1 says, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. That's the Logos saying. So the word of the Lord was God's personal revelation. That's Jesus. Right? So it's not someone who waited till the womb of Mary, no. And so we have, in all these stories, everything we will see later in the four Gospels, in the Epistles, and the Book of Acts. So let's focus on the Spirit. In the last words of Jesus before he died, in John 14 to 16, there was a very strong emphasis on what will happen upon the resurrection. Let's pick out one unique feature. In verse 16, he says, I'll pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. Now, listen carefully. Let me just wait on that. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth will walk out of you, because he sees not, that he knows him, but he knows him, but he does do, and shall be in you. Okay? John 14, 16 and 17. So he calls the Spirit of truth. Now the truth is reality, which is Now, if you look at the way John uses reality, it's worshippers in spirit and truth, the true light, alright, the true light, the true bread, which means that this is what they were talking about. This is the fulfillment. This is the fulfillment. So when you have truth in John, I am the way, I am the truth. If you go back and see the word truth, it's a comparison between a prophecy and a fulfillment. Call it a shadow, the fulfillment. Call it a promise and a fulfillment. So when you say the spirit of truth, which means the spirit of God's promise. Now you can put that and say the spirit of the land, the spirit of the inheritance will abide with you forever. Okay? Now if you go to John 14:26 again, calls him another comforter, or the comforter. The comforter. Comforter is Paracletos. Helper, strengthener, which is very close in explanation of the Izar. The Izar of Genesis 2, verse 18 and 19. Then he says again in John 15 and 26, he will testify. John 16, 7, 8, 9, 10, through to 12 and 13, same thing. He will convince. So that's the spirit of truth. That's new creation truth. So new creation reality is the indwelling, ongoing work of the Spirit. So new creation reality is not a past tense finished work, as we say. Thank God for the finished work facts of theology. But this is an ongoing, because the light shines in the darkness. The Spirit is moving over the darkness till now. So new creation is the work of the Spirit. New creation is the work of the Spirit. So the practice of the Spirit is new creation. So we said, the first thing in redemption is light, right? Direction. Revelation. To know things supernaturally. To do things and know things supernaturally. Both ways. So, new creation reality. Now you can put this like this. Which is our difference from the world. Is that correct? Right? Yet is our influence in the world. Difference and influence. Difference, we are not the same. Influence, how we win their hearts. Is that clear? Different, we are not the same, but we are not different to remain different. We are different to inherit the earth. We are different to possess the earth. So, the difference is a nature, and it's also an advancement. It's a nature, it's also a work. So, it's both a difference and an influence. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now let's say it like this. We're born of God, we have the Holy Ghost. Yet, we convince the world by the Holy Ghost. See? Difference, influence. So some folks will say, well, I'm holy, and so what they think is holiness is how they dress, which could reflect, yes. Okay, that the holiness is, you know, I don't wear rings, holiness is that I don't wear a pair of trousers, I don't do anything with my hair. So that the world will know that I am of God. Fine. That's not injurious. But then, so the world remains the world. I'm out of this world till I'm out of this world. No. There's work to be done. New creation is not just a finished work, right? It's an ongoing work. If it's, what is the chadash? God is renewing it, right? Right? Repairing, right? Remolding. New creation is why we're all reforming how we see ourselves. New creation is why you will not treat your daughter lesser, apart from her biological makeup. I don't want to talk about this thing. You don't treat your daughter different from your son. And new creation is, I will not raise my daughter to be a wife. Or raise my son to beat a wife. Sorry, to be a husband. Oh, I thought you got that part. New creation, truth is I see by the Spirit. I told you, God's word revelation to us, right? I see by the Spirit that this fellow is a pair of humanity. So when we come into a new creation marriage, the head of Christ is God. If you miss this one, you miss everything. Are they co-equals? Right? Come on. Christ is God. But in the new creation, in redemption, he becomes servant son. So he's submissive to an equal. The head of the woman is a man. Submissive to an equal. New creation. As Christ is to the church. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones. Same of the same. So, which means marriage doesn't define the woman. No. Marriage is a cultural thing. New creation will, through marriage, pay attention to this, will through marriage bring in God's image of how things should be done. God's reflection. How does submission look like in God? Come on. How does subjection, submission, love, care, co-equal treatment? That's what new creation marriage reflects. So, it's an ongoing work as we mold the way we think, the way we reason, the way we talk, the way we reflect and talk, and react to, or should I say, the way issues of this world resonate with us, is through how we see God's Word. Now, so, if we are led by the Spirit, and that leading is ongoing, we're led from darkness to light, and we are light in the darkness, so that leading is a fact and an ongoing work, just like Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, 12, and 13. It leads us through into the inheritance that we have, knowledge of the holy. So we have an inheritance of knowledge, which is by the Spirit. New creation work has begun. God is working in us and working through us to put things in the proper place. So the book of Acts will be a template for us in a couple of minutes now. That is, the book of Acts is the word praxis in the Greek, the practice of the Spirit. Because John 14 to 16, Jesus talked about the Spirit, right? John 20, 22, he breathed on, received the Spirit. And then Luke 24, 45, so, which is a fulfillment of Ezekiel 37, 5, which means the Spirit is within them. Okay? Dry bones are living again, right? So now, let us see an everyday practice. Everyday practice. First thing we saw was joy. Great joy. Megas charas. Because that's in Luke 24:52. Great joy. And great joy because of salvation. And I told you two Sundays ago, the fullness of joy is only associated with who? The Savior. It's an Old Testament phrase for the Savior, for the arrival or welcoming of the Savior. Hence he said, don't rejoice because demons are subject to you through my name, but because the Savior has come. Your names are in the book of life. Your names are written in heaven. Maybe let me put it properly. Your names are written, grapho. They are engrafted, engraved in heaven. So you rejoice. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Ask that your joy may be full. John 16:23 and 24. John 15, that should be verse 11. He says, I give you joy, no one takes away from you, or your joy is full. I've spoken my word to you that your joy may be full. So it's the salvation that brings that fullness of joy. So new creation has started. We are rejoicing Which means that there is something that has been answered. And what has been answered? The question of the psalmist is, what is man? Which is the quest of humanity. Who am I? That informs greed, avarice, sexual perversions, depression. Alright? And all that. And people start to find the fulfillment of that in acquiring wealth, acquiring women, acquiring children, or things. And they still appear empty. Ecclesiastes says everything becomes vain. So the question is, what is man? So in new creation, Jesus defines man. And every human problem is attached or tied to identity crisis. Who am I? The fellow who goes to hell not having answered that question. When we believe the gospel, we are either answered that question or we are answering that question through the eyes of God. So the Spirit of God, right, given to new creation man, he gives expression to the real humanity. This is the real me. So these guys were sorrowful when Jesus went to the cross. Sorrowful, but they became joyful when he left their sight, but abode with them forever. New creation. Joy. That joy is in the Holy Ghost. Knowledge of the Holy. Now, I can only know this if it's known by the Spirit. If I just know it as a feeling. Oh yeah, yeah, glory, glory. You know, there comes a time I won't be able to say the same thing, even though situations are tough, because I never knew what joy was. I've gotten joy from things and it's fine. And they are all in cycles. Joy from another age to your life. Joy from acquisition of wealth. Joy from new relationships. Joy from fame, status. Joy from miracles received. Lovely. Joy from having your enemy clubs lose. Joy. Why was I the only one you picked out of everything that I was saying? Because you are darkness. Joking, you know. So you have that joy. But there is the joy that does not depend on anything. New creation. They're full of joy. So you find it in good and bad times, the temperature is the same. You won't ask the boy, the man born again, why are you laughing? Is why aren't you laughing? Is that clear? New creation. New creation sees people who are groveling in iniquity but enjoying themselves and are laughing. And he's weeping. New creation life. It's by the Spirit that you can see people groveling in sin and you are weeping. Why are you weeping? You know, I remember one of those days I went to pray. I was a very young boy, younger than this, I mean. And I came back to pray from praying, and my dad, he had gotten to know by someone that I was going out of the house at 3 a.m. to go and pray, 4 a.m. or so. So he stood at the gate. So when I came, he said, where are you coming from? Now, that's where I used to lock the gate so I can open it from outside. So he was waiting there. And I was opening it. I just saw I was before the white throne judgment. I said, you know, at that time you lose all your boldness. I was not prepared to say anything. So he said, where are you coming from? I didn't know what to say. I said, I went to pray. I said, the worst thing. So he said, come. He said, now he's really disturbed. He said, how old are you? You went to pray. Pray for who? I said, how many hours? I said, I went like 3. He said, this is past 7. What are you saying? He said, I know you. You have a very moral life. You go in and come out. Say, how many sins are you confessing that day? He said, don't bother yourself. You have not really sins like that. He said, we that you pray. He didn't know why a young boy would be. That's the knowledge of the Holy. He didn't have that understanding. Why would someone be crying in prayer? And he's not crying because, this suffering is too much. Oh Lord, take me out of this problem. Two jobs in 1 month. They didn't want to allow me to resume. Oh God. And the guy is weeping. Now you see someone who has everything figured out. Has it, you know, and he's crying in church. Remember, someone said this to me. He said, when you see people like this, who are worshipping God and crying, he said, they remember how big their sins are and how God accepted them that way. I said, his own problem is poverty. So he's thinking anybody that has money must have sinned. Alright. So I said, no. You know, you look at that. I like that song by, what's her name again? With our hands lifted high and the world wonders why. We just tell them that we love in our King. It's strange. Why? Lift your hands. And then you cry. Someone say, have you seen this God before? Say, I know Him. Hallelujah. That's the knowledge of the Holy. I know Him. He's real to me. Hallelujah. He's real to me. Glory to God. He's real to me. Praise the Lord. So that's it. There's joy. What else? Acts 2. Day of Pentecost. They're all in one place in one accord. Look at the orderliness. Order. By the Spirit. And then there came a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind, filled all the house where they were seated. And they appeared to them, cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And they all began to speak. Glory to God. Supernatural utterances. Glory to God. God has restored the new creation by language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By language. Glory to God. I love what E.W. Kenyon said. And T.L. Osborne said the same thing. Now I can put it all together and it makes sense. That the reason why you have tongues of fire and the gift of tongues, pay attention, is to stir us up to reach the whole world. Now I couldn't put it all together when I first heard those things. I kind of felt this out of place. Tongues is for edification, it's to give a message in prayer and all that. And I said, but tongues in Genesis, in Isaiah, in the Psalms, is God building a new nation amongst all the kingdoms. So when I say language that is not my language, that's not anybody's language, God is saying we're reaching the world. Hallelujah. New creation. Knowledge of the whole. Amen. Knowledge of the whole. Knowledge of the whole. Glory to God. So they spoke in tongues. What was Peter's first sermon? He said, all flesh. The first message that came from interpreting tongues is the all flesh. Sons and daughters, new creation projects. Sons and daughters, male and female. What? Yeah. Shall prophesy. Glory to God. We have utterance. We have utterance. We have utterance. We have utterance. Supernatural utterance. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Which means our worship doesn't always follow logic. Amen. Doesn't always follow logic. Hallelujah. Amen. We worship God in tongues. We edify ourselves in tongues. We get built on this work in tongues. We prophesy in tongues. Glory to God. We give psalms in tongues. Hallelujah. Knowledge of the Holy. Light shining in the midst of darkness. Glory to God. Imagine everything is going tough and rough in Lagos or wherever you stay. And everybody's saying this and saying that. And you got yourself in the room and you just sing in tongues. Hallelujah. You will see an awesome glory fill the place. 1994. I think it was about November. Myself, my friends who were C25, Tether Hall. Was it C25 or A26? And we're there. I remember we were lifting our hands, just singing in tongues. We had just spent some time studying God's Word that day. Remember, one of us were two kinds of righteousness, E.W. Kenyon. And we spent time just fixing on God's Word. And we spent time just singing in tongues. Raised our hands. I think I fell down and somebody else was just all over the room. And people were going across the room and running away. Say, something is happening there. A guy got his hands on the door, stuck there till we opened it about 3 or 4 hours after. Amen. We just worshiped God, spoke in tongues. No one led the worship. No one sang any song. We just sang in tongues. And we saw the glory cloud in the place. New creation. Hallelujah. Where the atmosphere of the room is spirit inspired. The atmosphere of the place is spirit inspired. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't need a movie for this one. We don't need to get someone's joke for this one. It's new creation. It's Spirit of God. It's the Holy Ghost. It's light out of darkness. God separating the light from the darkness. Hallelujah. Are you there? And so we have that. We have that. Things are going tough. Amen. Imagine couples rather than argue. Let's just sing in tongues, sweetheart. Come on. Let's just sing in tongues and worship God. No. Don't spiritualize it. No, we have to spiritualize it. We are born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We are lifted to help your singing talk. If you do it for 30 minutes, all those, that anger will fall away, escape. Hallelujah. You go, whoo! And then you go, all those demons that try to come on your head will go. And you go, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my son. I thank you for my, you don't just say, I thank you. You can't speak in tongues and worship God and say, I hate you. It's always, I thank God for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you there? That's a practice of the new creation, the reality, by the Spirit. By the Spirit. By the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because on the day of Pentecost, what were they saying? The wonderful works of God. There was poverty in Jerusalem. The wonderful works of God. And as soon as that happened, look at this. People got born again. Look at this church. They got saved. Woo! These guys came to Jerusalem in their thousands. They came to celebrate, look at this, came to celebrate Pentecost. They bought two-way ticket. They just packed, you know, when you go quickly for a trip, say, I'm just going to Jerusalem for 1 week. Pentecost now, you know, Yabus will call it Ojude Oba. I think the Igbos have new Yam Festival. I don't know, I was asked, Agugu Festival in Sokoto. They say, let's go in just 1 week. Because how would you be going for Judy Oba and then you pack a box of your clothes? You say, are you moving out? They say, no, it's just 1 week. So they went for 1 week. Maybe it's even for a few days. The Passover, then the Pentecost. But something happened. 3,000 of those guys, they put their ticket aside. Oh, they saw that the God of Israel had come as a man. Salvation is here. This is the Exodus. The new creation. Oh, Peter said, this promise is for you and to your children. And go as many as the Lord your God shall call. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Bible says, in verse 41, 3,000 received the word with gladness, new creation. And they continued steadfastly, commitment. Daily. So you know what? That's why they didn't have where to stay. Because they came from far country. But there's a consecration that comes. A commitment. That wants to follow God. Hallelujah. People will call you crazy. Imagine someone leaves his own home, say in Arabia, and comes to Jerusalem, and then has to squat to hear God's word. He doesn't care. You know what happened again? The Bible says, there was no one that lacked. Because those who had houses, new creation, went to sell, and met the needs. New creation, community. Community. Your need is my need. Community. Joy. Utterance. Commitment. Generosity. 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 Which means that the hold of material things was broken. Generosity. Boom! Why? In new creation, I find out who I am. I'm not defined by what I have or what I don't have. They stay behind. Acts 4. There's persecution. Now we have miracles. Acts 3. Acts 4. There's persecution. Woo! And everybody said, what's going on? They're threatening them. And they went to pray. Hallelujah. And the whole place was shaking together. Not a single utterance of bitterness. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke God's word. The Bible says they were one heart. One heart. One soul. And there was great grace upon them. Great grace. What's the great grace? For as many as hearts shared it. New creation. By the Spirit. By the Spirit. By the Spirit. We have new attitudes. So we have new attitudes. So we have new attitudes. New creation. The knowledge of the Holy. The knowledge of the Holy. We're seeing things differently, right? All those things are by the Spirit. Utterance. Joy. Consecration. Generosity. Unity. The way we can achieve unity. I'm going to share this at the workers' convention. In the local assembly is by the Spirit. If you stay in the Spirit, and I stay in the Spirit, there cannot be a division in the local assembly. Are you in church? Can't be. If you stay in the Spirit, and I stay in the Spirit. New creation. God is building something. God is doing something here. Nothing from outside can defeat us. Glory to God. If we're married, if we're in a relationship, we're friends, and we're new creation in thinking, nothing from the world can overwhelm us. We'll face challenges together and we'll win. Amen? Just like the church always won. We'll win. What else do we have? We have direction. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. Acts 13 2. Direction. I keep Acts 10 and Acts 9. Acts 10, Acts 9. Supernatural conversions. Paul by the Holy Ghost. Oh, on the road to Damascus. Peter, you know, at the top of the house, fell into a trance. Salvation of the Gentiles. Acts 8. Look at it. Back to back. Acts 8. Supernatural the Enoch. Acts 9. Saul of Tarsus. Acts 10. Centurion. Acts 11, Antioch. Supernatural things. Supernatural conversions. We're in that time. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, people are going to walk into service saved. Glory to God. We are going to call you and say, you know what? Come and lead me to Christ. I just had a dream. Had an angel appear to me. I had a voice. Come and preach to me right now. It's going to happen this week. It's going to happen next week. It's going to happen this year. Because it's a year of the supernatural harvest by the Spirit of God. The first fruit of things to come. Hallelujah. Acts 9, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 11. See? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. We're Holy Ghost people. Holy Ghost in conduct. Holy Ghost in joy. Holy Ghost in sight. Holy Ghost in hearing. There are things we hear the world can't hear. Right? There are things we see they can't see. In fact, there are more things we see that they can't see. Amen. There are more things. There are more things we hear they can never hear. Those who followed Paul did not know what was going on, but Paul knew what was going on. Hallelujah. So Acts 13, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherethrough I've called them. Supernatural direction by the Spirit. Holy Ghost said. So now you notice something? Acts of the Apostles, people will speak and you hear the Holy Ghost said. So John 20, 22, 23 is coming to pass. Whosoever sees you and me, you begin to act in God's stead. Or God begins to act in your stead. The knowledge of the Holy. So where Israel failed, here we are, God's image people. We begin to reflect the unseen God amongst people. When we speak, it's God speaking. Knowledge of the Holy. We are the holy people. Amen. You are His holy people. You are the people He's walking through. He's speaking through. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Following that, speaking through us. Walking through us. Amen. So Paul goes to a city full of idolatry. In Paul's baptism, his spirit was stirred. Holy emotions. Holy emotions. While the world is reacting to Twitter, we are being led by the Spirit. Holy emotions. Holy emotions. Glory to God. People will laugh at something and you are crying over it in prayer. Holy emotions. Acts 20:22. Paul says, you know, I go to Jerusalem bound in the Spirit, not knowing the things that will befall me, save with the Holy Ghost witness in every city, born and affliction await me. He's bound in the Spirit. Holy Ghost compelling you. He'll compel you to pray. He'll compel you to do things at odd hours. Not in an odd way anyway, praise the Lord. But odd hours. He'll change your direction. He'll change your focus. He'll just say, no, today you just stay up and pray. You just say, tomorrow you go to the house and go preach. And we're Holy Ghost led. See, I'm Holy Ghost led. So we're full of joy, full of utterance, full of revelation. We're Holy Ghost led, Holy Ghost inspired, Holy Ghost emotions. New creation reality. Hallelujah. New creation reality. Next month we're going to have Holy Ghost meetings. Amen. In our services, praise God. Holy Ghost meetings. I'm going to teach you how we're going to have it. Amen. Holy Ghost meetings. Praise God. Because we're Holy Ghost people. Holy Ghost joy. Holy Ghost visions. Holy Ghost emotions. Amen. Holy Ghost leadings. Praise the Lord. Holy Ghost actions. Praise the Lord. Holy Ghost reactions. Praise the Lord. Because we're new creation people. Amen. We're holy people. We're different. Are we different? But our difference is for influence. To replenish and multiply. Subdue. Is that clear? Cover the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we walk in the supernatural. No, I told you. Brother Hagin said, the spectacular is what people often look out for. But many times the supernatural is not spectacular. The supernatural could just be add more 10 minutes to pray. That's all. Your head doesn't have to shake. 10 more minutes to pray. You're praying 1 hour, says, oh, add 20 more minutes. Holy Ghost led. It's not spectacular. Just impress on your heart. You have finished preaching. And Holy Ghost says, talk about this. Huh? Talk about what? Talk about this. And you do it. And the guy looks up. He doesn't see anything. And that's an answer for 20 years. Holy Ghost led. It doesn't look spectacular, but it's supernatural. Glory to God. There was someone I was counseling sometimes in March. The person that got into depression. So depression, a Christian woman. I've been recommended to therapists. So while I was talking with her on the phone, I just saw a vision. I said, was there a time that you were led to laugh and rejoice and you didn't? She said, I can't remember. So I saw the particular service she was at. I said, you were in this auditorium and then a lot of people were laughing in the service and you did not. Oh, she said, that day. Oh, yeah. I was thinking about so and so. She mentioned it. I said, well, you should have. Because sometimes that was a prevention for a coming depression. You should have. She said, wow. What do I do now? I said, next time, take your drugs. Take your medication. If you are taking that, you will need to go to a therapist. Now imagine you go to a therapist, born again, they're asking you, so why do you feel sad? No, I don't know. So, therapist is saying, you know, the psychotic condition that you're facing. And you say, yes, okay, you know what you're going to do? Then the man will say, you just, you know, madam, don't kill yourself. A Muslim, don't kill yourself. You know, this life, no balance. Sir, thank you. Whereas in church, you heard God say, rejoice! For many of us, we don't laugh at home. Why? Why don't you laugh at home? Why don't you laugh? It's not just in the service. Laugh in the room. Laugh on the bed. Laugh in the restroom. Amen? Glory to God. Just like I saw about that woman. That many of us, we didn't take that step at the right hour. God foresaw something and cured it ahead of time. You didn't take it. It doesn't have to be a service. If you want to, you can excuse yourself in your office. Go to the restroom and just use 2 minutes. Imagine. You, your husband, I try to have a very strong disagreement. And then you tell yourself, be careful. And then you say, hold on. And you go into the kitchen, you lock yourself, and you go, you know, very likely, when you come back to the house, the room or the living room, you say, Sheila, I'm sorry. Amen. New creation people. Holy Ghost led. Holy Ghost inspired. Hallelujah. When we have pain in our bodies, we don't speak doom or depression. We rejoice because healing will happen. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands and worship. Sing in tongues. Sing in tongues.